very much.
God bless his parents too. I know. One of my favorites. One of my favorite favorites. That's what I'm saying. Oh, you remember what God did Moses when he left Egypt? Give him a new song.
Your song.
Moses'
song, you're right.
I'm trying to tell you, but, hey, I bet you it didn't sound like the song that they had while they was in captivity.
Yeah.
What you want to reckon? I don't need to listen to that old book. I used to listen. I got this good stuff now. Amen. Hey, man, it's good to be in the house of the Lord this evening. Let's take our song books and turn to page number 267. Yes, I know, 267. Come, ye sinners, lost and hopeless, Jesus' blood can make you free. For he saved the worst amongst you when he saved a wretch like me. And I know, yes, I know, Jesus' blood can make the vilest sinner clean. And I know, yes, I know, Jesus' blood can make the vilest sinner clean. To the faint he gave his power, to the mountain makes a way. Find his water in the desert, turns the night to golden day. And I know, yes I know, Jesus' blood can make the vilest sinner clean. And I know, yes I know, Jesus' blood can make the vilest sinner clean. Number 3, in temptation he is near thee, holds the powers of hell at bay, guides you to the path of safety, gives you grace for every day. And I know, yes I know, Jesus' blood can make the vilest sinner clean. And I know, yes I know, Jesus' blood can make the vilest sinner clean. Number 4, he will keep thee while the ages rolls throughout eternity. The world's dangers and outrages all must work for good to thee. And I know, yes I know, Jesus' blood can make the vilest sinner clean. And I know, yes I know, Jesus' blood can make the vilest sinner clean. Amen. Let's go to Lord in prayer. Dear Lord, I just want to thank you for this night, Lord. I do thank you for the ability to know that we're saved, Lord. And we thank you for your word that we can have, that we could know, Lord, that while we was yet lost, Lord, you came down to save old riches like us, Lord. I do pray tonight as we go over your word that you'd help us understand it, Lord. Be with the preaching. You give Brother Jeff the word to say, Lord, and a power and unction to preach. Pray you forgive us for our sins. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Let's turn to page number 185, My Savior's Love.
I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene, and wonder how he could love me, a sinner condemned unclean. Oh, how marvelous, oh, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. Oh, how marvelous, oh, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me. For me it was in the garden, he prayed not my will but thine. He had no tears for his own grief, but sweat drops of blood for mine. Oh, how marvelous, oh, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. Oh, how marvelous, oh, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me.
Number three.
He took my sins and my sorrows, he made them his very own. He bore the burden to Calvary and suffered and died alone. Oh, how marvelous, oh, how wonderful, when my song shall ever be. Oh, how marvelous, oh, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me.
Number four.
When with the ransom and glory his face I at last shall see, 'twill be my joy through the ages to sing of his love for me. Oh, how marvelous, oh, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. Oh, how marvelous, oh, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me.
I like that one.
That sounds like one.
I like it. But Richardson tried to steal my Bible.
I don't think it counts if you steal a Bible.
Yeah, I'm holding the fort with a stolen Bible.
That's right. Sometimes it is what it is. Amen. Let us stand for this last song.
Hey, man, you got to have a Bible and stand.
Oh, my comrades, see the signal waving in the sky.
I know by heart, some of them I don't do them very often. Well, here we go.
Oh, my comrades, see the signal waving in the sky. Reinforcements now appearing, victory is nigh. Hold the fort, for I am coming, Jesus signals him. Wave the answer back to heaven, by thy grace we will. See the mighty host advancing, Satan leading on. Mighty men around and falling, courage almost gone. Hold the fort, for I am coming, Jesus signals him. Wave the answer back to heaven, by thy grace we will.
Number three.
See the glorious banner waving, hear the trumpet blow. In our leader's name we'll triumph over every foe. Hold the fort, for I am coming, Jesus signals him. Wave the answer back to heaven, by thy grace we will.
Number four.
Fierce and long the battle rages, but our help is near. Onward comes our great commander, cheer my comrades, cheer. Hold the fort, for I am coming, Jesus signals him. Wave the answer back to heaven, By thy grace we will.
Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Amen. Hope you all had a good afternoon. Beautiful day outside.
God has just really blessed us. Beautiful weather. I love the sunshine. Amen. Let me go make sure I've got the CD on just for. All right. So Brother James is gonna talk to you for a minute.
Amen. I'm gonna wave to everyone on YouTube. Amen. And
that's right. Amen. Well, see, this way I was able to turn off the pulpit mic so it wouldn't be so have double mic coming over. Amen. And what's that? That's right. That's right. Well, I knew Brother James was up to the task. Amen. He's always ready to sing. Sister Edra, you didn't say amen. Amen. I am thankful. I was preaching this morning about the fathers that we have in the spiritual family of the church. And I am thankful for Brother James, Sister Edra. They are definitely very close to me and my family, and I'm thankful for them. And definitely love to pick with Brother James, but I am very, very thankful for him and his stand and his love for us and Sister Edra's love for us. Amen. 1 Samuel chapter number 9, my older two, and Jeremiah would once he gets a little older, but my older two boys will tell you that Brother James, Sister Edra are their grandparents here in Georgia. They definitely love them and care for them. And thankful for that. Amen. Well, 1 Samuel chapter number 9, if you would, when you get there, let's stand. Amen. 1 Samuel chapter number 9, verse number 15. The Bible says, "Now the Lord had told Samuel in his ear a day before Saul came, saying, Tomorrow about this time I will send thee a man out of the land of Benjamin, and thou shalt anoint him to be captain over my people Israel, that he may save my people out of the hand of the Philistines. For I have looked upon my people because of their cry is come unto me. And when Samuel saw Saul, the Lord said unto him, Behold the man whom I spake to thee of. This same shall reign over my people." And let's go to chapter 10 and verse number 24. "And Samuel said to all the people, See ye him whom the Lord hath chosen, that there is none like him among all the people. And all the people shouted and said, God save the King." Let's pray. Our precious Heavenly Father, Lord, I do thank you, Father, for your grace that you so freely give. Lord, we were having such a great time up here singing, Lord, singing about the love that you have for us. And Father, I'm thankful that I know you save sinners. And Lord, if there's one tonight that's listening, Lord, that they would see that great love that you have for them and understand that they need to be saved as a sinner so that they could be your child. And Lord, that love would be fulfilled. Father, they're missing it. It's there. It's available for them. They just haven't received it. And then, Lord, I think about the child of God that, Lord, knows that love. But, Father, so often we have things in our life that
limit or distract. And Father, I pray that You'd help us to see that You have a plan for us. You have a purpose for our lives. Lord, it's bigger than we are. Lord, it's much more than we can even imagine. And yet, Lord, I can't do it. But Lord, I'm thankful through You it may be accomplished. And Lord, I pray that You would just touch us tonight. Lord, give me wisdom. Show me how to preach, Lord. Teach me, Lord. And Father, I pray Your will be done in Jesus' precious name. Amen and amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing. We come to this passage of Scripture, and I don't want to go back over the whole thing that I just preached this morning. And I know that we haven't lost that much memory in us, so bear with us a little bit. But if you would, take your Bibles and turn over to the book of 2 Timothy chapter number 1. 2 Timothy chapter number 1. We were talking about the fact that God has called us all. He's called us to salvation, but He's called us for a purpose and to a purpose. I think about Saul here as he's stepped up, or God's called him to be the first king of Israel. May I tell you, the only kings that he would have ever known of or had ever heard of would have been Gentile kings. He didn't have a clue how to be the king of Israel. And would have had no experience, would have not had anyone he could have turned to, because he was the first. And there's many times in our lives that we begin to think that, well, how am I going to do this? How am I going to serve the Lord? Maybe we don't have a family that we were raised. I remember not long ago speaking with a gentleman, and I told him, I said, this is all I know. Sure, I know other doctrines. I know what they believe, and I know the other denominations and where they stand. But this is the life that I know. This is what God has given. And listen, I'm thankful that we have an instruction book. Amen? Because we really do. But we have to get in it. And so I look here at 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy 1. I want you to look over at verse number 9. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse number 9. Who hath saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. May I tell you how long God's had a purpose for you? Not just the purpose of salvation. You know, there's many times today you'll hear of someone that you might meet, and Brother Richard, you're able to witness to them. I know Brother Richard's one of those that always likes to witness someone. And boy, they'll tell you a time where they've made a profession, or a time when they've joined a church, or a time when they've done something in the spiritual thought. And then that's it. It's done. It's almost like, okay, I've had that. How many have already passed their 10th birthday? How many are looking forward to their next 10th birthday? You say, preacher, what do you mean? You're not going to have it again. It's gone. Some of us can go on up there and into some years. May I tell you, we can't go back and get yesterday. And there's folks out there that believe or act as if their salvation, well, that was in the past and I'm done with that and now I'm going to move on. But I'm thankful that salvation is the starting point. Salvation's the beginning. There's so much more. And I think about the promises of God that God gives us, in the fact that we can have more than you can even imagine in Christ. And He's given us this great purpose for life, and He's called us into something that's bigger than we are. Aren't you glad to have a big God? I almost titled this Living Up to God's Expectations. Because really, He didn't give us a plan to fail. He gave us a purpose and a plan to succeed. And He's given us all the provisions necessary to succeed. This morning we were looking at some of them, and all of them are found within the church. Saul had the spiritual father. Saul had that family to help nurture him and help him to grow, and we have that in the church. I think about these that are here. Of course, we've got three youngins in here, but there's also three not quite as young in here. And Brother Stephen and I was talking, well, it wasn't that long ago, but Allie was Jeremiah's age when Jeremiah was the twins' age. And look at how Allie's grown. Terah wasn't much older. She was a little older, but she wasn't a whole lot older. She was still in, I think she was still in diapers at the time. Terah, does that embarrass you? You was in diapers. Did you know that? You was in diapers. Amen. Here I am embarrassing, making Terah blush. Amen. Well, not really. She's about to get after me. Amen. But the truth of the matter is we had, everyone in here has had a molding process in these children. Everyone. Jeremiah, Brother Duke's not here tonight. He's working tonight. But Jeremiah can't wait for Brother Duke to drive down the road there at the farm. He's looking at, in fact, every time we go out there, Brother Duke coming, going to the cabins today, Brother Duke going to the, I don't know. But I'm telling you, he loves the church. He will ask about each and every one. If someone's not here, now listen, there's been some folks that have been upset because that five-year-old will call them out. Haven't seen you in church in a while. Amen. From the mouth of babes. But yeah, you think he's going to be a preacher. But truthfully, we look at that and that nurturing. Boy, I'm thankful God's given us the church. But may I tell you, God's given us more. And I don't want to downplay the church, but He's given us more than just the church. Because as much as we look at the church, and I know that there's people out there looking for the perfect church, and as soon as they find it, they got to leave. Amen. That's the sad part, because, I mean, there's if they find a perfect church and they go to it, it won't be perfect anymore. Amen. Because there's no such thing. Because it's us. And as close as we get with the Lord, we still all fail. But what I want us to look at is we are a spiritual encouragement to one another. But I find that there's also a spiritual enabling. That God Himself enables us. You know, it's one thing to rely, Brother Richard, I can call you and I can ask you, or Brother Jackie, or Brother Scooter, Brother James, I can call and I need some help. But you can only do so much. And I'm not saying that in a mean way or a limiting way. But the truth of the matter is every one of us can only do so much. But aren't you glad that God doesn't have a limit? Amen? And so God says, look, not only am I going to give you the church to encourage you and keep you going, and boy, listen, because I've got a good plan for you. I've got a good purpose for your life, and it's much more than what this world wants you to think it is. Because this world tells you that the Christian life, the life that's really Christ-like, is a wasted life. But God says, it's a profitable life. Amen. If you think about Joshua, he was going to be profitable in all that he did. And he was. And we can too. And so, as we look at this, it's not just in the spiritual encouragement that God gives us when in the church. I find a spiritual enabling. Notice, if you would, let me get to the right part of my notes here. Go over to 1 Samuel chapter number 10. 1 Samuel chapter 10. And I want you to look at verse number 6. Now, if we would call our memory back to where I left us this morning with spiritual leadership in 1 Samuel chapter 9 and verse number 27, Samuel begins to tell him the Word of God. Samuel begins to tell him what God had put in Samuel's ear in verses 15 through 17. And he explains to him what's going to take place. And I want you to see this. There's this spiritual enabling that comes to place in 1 Samuel chapter number 10, verse number 6. Now, Samuel's already told him everything that's going to take place. He anoints him with oil. He goes ahead and lets him know he's going to be king. And he tells him exactly where to go. They're going to offer sacrifice. They're going to do this work that God has. And in verse number 6, and the Bible says, and the Spirit of the Lord will come upon thee, and thou shalt prophesy with them, and thou shalt be turned into another man. And let it be, when these signs are come unto thee, that thou do as occasion serve thee, for God is with thee. Jeremiah read that Thursday morning. I told him, now I want you to look there. Those are all one syllable words. Those are all small words. For God is with thee. Amen. Now go on. He tells us in verse number 8, and thou shalt go down, before me to Gilgal, and behold, I will come down unto thee to offer burnt offerings and to sacrifice sacrifices of peace offerings. 7 days shalt thou tarry till I come to thee and show thee what thou shalt do. And so notice here, if you would, that we find in this spiritual enabling, first of all, is God's enlightenment. God's enlightenment. And the Bible tells us here that He's going to prophesy. Now, prophesy means that you're going to see things that you have not seen before, that has not been revealed. Now, understand something. Don't get this confused, because there's those out there today that believe that they're prophets. And there is no prophets today. May I tell you that we have the Word of God. We've seen everything that's going to be seen. But there's a problem with that. There's some things that we don't see when we first see it. You see? There's some things that we don't see right off the bat. There's some understanding that we don't have. And may I remind you that God's enlightenment, or we could even call it illumination if you want. It just didn't start with an E. And so God's illumination, as He's enlightening us, and as He's bringing something forward for us to see it. I think about old Saul here. Saul's going to go prophesy with the prophets. And I know that this is all to fulfill Scripture, but really what's it for? It's to show him that God is, His Word is true. To show him that God's really going to make him king. That God's really doing what He said He's going to do, because He is who He said He is. Amen. And so there's things in our life that God enlightens. Now don't get me wrong. I'm thankful that God doesn't show us everything when we want to see it. There's some things that, listen, I'm all right not understanding, because they scare me to death. I'll just go ahead and trust Him, and I'll follow Him. You don't want to know how wicked this world really is. Amen? You don't want to, there's some discernment that should come. But may I tell you, we don't have to discern everything until God's ready to show it to us. Amen? I'm talking about to come through with, to live up to God's plan that He has for our life. You don't have to know everything, but you do have to have it revealed through Him. I find here in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse number 14, the Bible says, "But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned." Now, Let's go back to Potato Head. Brother Jackie and I was talking about Potato Head. Because he's not Mr. or Mrs. You know what really bothers me? Is I'm spiritually discerned enough to know that it's not about just taking a gender off. To many in this world, it does not matter. To many in this world, they look at it as it's just a doll. It's a piece of plastic. But may I tell you that there's deeper reason behind it. There's a much deeper reason. And the moment that they reveal that they don't want your children to be forced... Tara, are you a little girl or a little boy? How old are you? 7 years old, and she's got it figured out. You know, it's amazing to me. Allie, are you a girl or a boy? Girl, how old are you? 10 years old. 10 years old. Jeremiah, are you a girl or a boy? A boy. How old are you? Say it. 5 years old. 5 years old. You say, preacher, what are you getting at? Now, Tara was more offended that I asked. But the world says that they should be offended that they've got to be forced into a mold. Don't you think that that's going to have repercussions down the road? Amen. I'm not for Barbie dolls by any means. I think that they're vain and wicked. But even Mattel has made a doll that's gender neutral. Why? And I don't have to just go that. We could look at the spiritual discernment that we need today. Listen, this world that we live in does not love our God. That's just the fact. He said it hated him, it'll hate us too. Why do we need spiritual discernment? Why do we need this enlightenment that God has for us? Well, I'm reminded of John 16 and verse number 13. The Bible says, "Howbeit, when He, the Spirit of truth," now this is Jesus speaking, "is come, He will guide you into all truth. For He shall not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak, and He will show you things to come." I'm telling you that these disciples that were sitting there, these disciples that Jesus was speaking to, had already been told the truth of God's Word. But may I remind you that even when Jesus had told them that He was going to die on the cross, that He was going to be buried in a tomb, that He was going to raise the third day, they didn't even remember it until He was resurrected. They didn't have the enlightenment or the understanding. Aren't you glad that the Holy Spirit's within us, that when things go on, it rings bells and whistles? Why? Because God is here to show us. He doesn't want His children to fall into the same traps that the world says is okay. And we have this enlightenment so we know how to live up to His plan. Because He doesn't want us in the dark. Amen. And so I look as well. I think about this enlightenment that He gives, but I look as well at God's presence. I had showed you there in 1 Samuel chapter number 10 that as we look there in verse number 7, the very end of it, "For God is with me." Let me explain this for a moment. This doesn't mean that He sees where I am, although He does. This doesn't mean that He watches from afar off, although He can. It means that He is with me. Now let me explain this. My wife and I are not with each other right now, although we're in the same room. We're not. But if I came over here and I sat down and I sat with her and I put my arm around her, now she'd know I'm with her. And you say, "Yeah, preacher, you stink." But she'd know I'm with her. Now, notice this. Did you see who else knew I was with her? Did you see who stood up? Because he knew. And he's eyeballing me. He's like, "You're with my mama." And I don't know. Is that mine? All right. I was going to say, I might have mine on to where it's getting alerts too. Now, am I not with her? Well, I'm not with her the same as I was with her a minute ago. But we're inseparable. I have a ring that says so. I'm with her. You know why? Because my heart is in her direction too. Now hold on a second. I want us to grasp all of this. When God says, or even here in 1 Samuel chapter number 10 and verse number 7 at the very end of that verse where God is speaking and Samuel tells Saul, "For God is with thee." Jeremiah, you remember reading that? "For God is with thee." That means that as much as he told Saul, God's heart is aimed towards you. That's what he's telling him. God's with thee. Hey, I'm glad. I've told my wife before, there's been a couple of times where I've had to preach some funerals that she wasn't able to go to. Jeremiah was a little bit older, or he was to the point that you really didn't want to take him to a funeral. It was someone that we didn't know, and so we didn't take him to the funeral. And I would have to preach that funeral, and she wasn't there. You say, "What are you getting at?" Well, I knew she was with me. I knew she was for me, but I couldn't see her. You see, one of the greatest parts of preaching a funeral, because it's one of the hardest things you can do. You want to talk about making a family mad? You get up and preach a funeral. Amen. And I can look out, and I know she's in my corner. Aren't you glad God's in our corner? Amen. Aren't you glad? Hey, for God is with thee. He didn't say that He's going to just watch you from afar off. No, He's going to be in your corner. But it goes deeper than that, does it not? As a child of God, when I look at God being with me, now He's inseparable. we're married. We're together. We're one. And so we're going to be with each other. But you know what God can do that we can't? He can be in more than one place at a time. I can't do that, brother. I can't do it. Tomorrow I'm going to go work with John and do some things over there with him. And I can't be with Sarah at the same time that I'm with John. I can't be with Jacob and Jeremiah at the same time I'm over there with John. Jacob's going to go to work, and Jeremiah's going to be at the house, and we're going to look at all these things, and we're going to do all this stuff. I can't be with all of them. But I'm thankful when the Bible tells me, for God is with thee, that God can be with thee, and 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 me. When Jeremiah was sitting on my lap Thursday morning, we were reading that text, and I came to verse number 7, the very end. I just stopped and I explained that. And I said, do you understand thee? And you say, well, preacher, I mean, he's 5. How's he going to understand thee? And I told him it's speaking to an individual, thee. But if God would tell that he's going to be with Saul, he's also going to be with me, an individual. It's not just that he's with the church. Aren't you glad that you don't have to come to the church to have the presence of God? You remember here in the Old Testament, the presence of God was the Ark of the Covenant. And yet Samuel tells Saul, God's with thee. Does that mean he's going to have to pick up the Ark of the Covenant and walk around? No! It means God can be with him all the time. As a child of God in the New Testament, guess what we have? God with us all the time. Amen. How do you think He's given us this discernment? It's not just in the fact that He's shining the light from heaven and boy, hey, bells and whistles are going off over here because there's a problem and we've got that spiritual discernment. No, it's because the Holy Spirit inside of us speaks to us. And He directs our steps and He directs our path. I think about Hebrews chapter number 13 and verse number 5, and let your conversation be without covetousness and be content with such things as ye have, for he said, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. And so may I don't want you to get critical with me, but I like to think of it like this. In 1 Samuel chapter number 10, we have greater than what Saul had. You see, in 1 Samuel chapter number 10 and verse number 7, Samuel told Saul, God is with thee. But may I tell you that we can look at it and go, God is within me. Amen? God is within me. And so, boy, I'm telling you, I've got a reason that I can keep living the plan that He has for me and live up to the plan that He has for me because He's with me and His presence is there. But then I move on. And I find here in verse number 8 that Samuel had told him, and thou shalt go down before me to Gilgal, and behold, I will come down unto thee. Notice this. To offer burnt offerings and sacrifices, and to sacrifice sacrifices of peace offerings. 7 days shalt thou tarry till I come to thee. 7's the number of completion in the Bible, by the way. He said, you're going to wait there 7 days and then I'm going to show up and I'm going to show you what to do. Huh. You say, preacher, how is this a blessing from God? How is this going to allow us to continue? Well, because I find here that it's a spiritual enabling of God's worship. What are they doing? They're getting ready to sacrifice sacrifices. They're getting ready to have a burnt offering. The burnt offering was nothing but a sacrifice that was offered up to God alone. The priest could not touch it. It was only for God. It was going to be completely consumed on that fire. You say, I just don't see the blessing in it. I don't see the power in it. Oh, take your Bibles. Turn over to Revelation chapter number 3. Turn over to Revelation chapter number 3. If you were to do studies of the feasts and studies of the sacrifices, they weren't just something where you came up and you offered it up to God and you walked away and said, all right, I'm done with that religious rite and that act and I'm done until I have to perform it again. And there's more than that. More, much more. What was so important about the sacrifices? Fellowship. It was a fellowship with God. It was a time where you would come and you would offer up this sacrifice and this animal, and you would have that time of fellowship. It wasn't that the priest wasn't there to kill the animal of the sacrifices that you offered. No, the sacrifice of atonement and some of those there was. But most of it, could you imagine if the priest was there for nothing but cleaning the animal? I don't know about you, Brother Scooter. I'm fine. I'll shoot the animal. I'll even drag it out of the woods. But I don't want to spend all day cleaning animals. Amen? You shoot 7 deer and call me, I'm going to tell you I'm unavailable. I'm available for 1. I'll help you clean it. Maybe even 2. I'll help you clean it. But 7, that's a day's worth. Amen? I don't care how good you are. By the time you're done, I'm telling you, you're done. You're not doing anything else today. Well, it wears you out. You say, well, preacher, they've done it their entire life. They'll know how to do it. Yeah, okay, it doesn't mean it doesn't wear you out. And they've got all of Israel coming up with sacrifices. No. May I tell you that God doesn't want you to just come up and drop off your sacrifice and walk away and be done. That's not what it is. Why is it so important? Why is it spiritually enabling when we're... I don't want to give you all my receipts, amen. And so, why is it so important? Notice, if you would, Revelation chapter 3. Look at verse number 20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him. Huh. You say, well, preacher, I thought God wouldn't leave us. Oh, He won't, but many times we leave Him. Amen. We leave Him sitting there. Oh, He still sees us. He still knows where we are. We just don't care where He is. And He says that I'll come in to Him and sup with Him, and He with me. Let me explain something to you. When we worship Him, the spirit grows and the flesh gets weak. When we begin to sing the sacrifice of praises, when we lift up how good He is and all that He's done for us, may I tell you, the old flesh cringes. The old flesh don't want that. The old flesh says, oh, just sit down, put your sacrifice up there, and just walk away. But God says, no, come and spend some time. Come and worship with me. Come and just remember the sacrifice that was made. Just come and praise. Listen, God has done more than just save me. He's done much more than just save me. He's cared for me along the way. When I turn my back on Him, and when I try to serve Him, I'm still unworthy. Listen, you know what Saul got to do? Why was it so important? Saul, you're not going to be able to do this. You're not able to. God's able, but you're not. But through God, you may. You can do it. Or may be able to do it. Now, that's not a may or may not. No. That's a you're allowed to. But yet, Saul, there's an area you need to learn. Some worship. It would do us good to praise Him for His salvation. To praise Him for His provisions. To praise Him for just being Him. Isn't God good all the time? Isn't God just good to be God? Isn't it good to have the God that we have? Amen. I'm thankful I don't have a God I got to carry around. Can you imagine? I like, Brother Scooter, you were talking about being in the book of Isaiah. I like the book of Isaiah and Jeremiah. They're talking about the sacrifices and people will make them. Now, we're cutting trees down. I'm really digging them up and then I'm cutting them up. Amen. And, I was thinking the other day as I was cutting one, I've got this great big old root ball sticking up and I'm cutting it. And I was just kind of thinking back and I was like, you know, there's people out there that, and the Bible explains it as this, with part of the wood, they'll go and they'll bake a roast. And part of the wood, they'll come and they'll keep warm. And part of the wood, they'll come and they'll set it up and they'll carve it out and they'll make it into a statue and they're going to carry it around. It's got eyes, but it cannot see. It's got ears, but it cannot hear. It's got a mouth, but it cannot speak. It's got arms and it cannot hold. It's got feet and it cannot walk. I mean, all of these things. You say, preacher, what are you getting at? They worship the wrong things. But praise God, I have the right God. And we can lift Him up. And you want to talk about encouragement? You want to talk about spiritual enabling? You go ahead and get me praising the Lord. There isn't anything bringing me down. Because I'm spending time with Him. May I remind you that God inhabits praise. You go ahead and start praising Him and watch who shows up. Amen. Oh, I think about Samuel here and he's getting ready to show up in 7 days. Oh, I wonder if old Saul would have just been sitting there 7 days thinking about all these promises that God just gave him through Samuel the prophet. That if you would remember back that his servant said, oh, this man does it right. This is the man of God that everything he says, it comes to be. Oh, and by the way, and I didn't read it to you, but Samuel had told him where the donkeys were, told him that Kish did leave looking for them, and everyone's safe and everyone's at home, and just go on down to Gilgal and we'll be ready for you. 7 days I'll be there and we're going to have a supping good time. Amen. We're going to sup with him and he's going to sup with us and we're just going to have a shouting fit. Amen. That's spiritual enablement. Notice if you would as well, I find a spiritual exchange. A spiritual exchange. I'm talking about God's provisions so that we can live up to His plan for our lives. Spiritual exchange. Notice if you would in 1 Samuel chapter number 10. I want you to look down at verse number 9. In 1 Samuel chapter number 10 and verse number 9. And it was so that when he had turned his back to go from Samuel, God gave him another heart. And all those signs came to pass that day. You say, preacher, what's this spiritual exchange? He's got a new heart. What does that really mean? I mean, they take the old one out and they put a new one in. No, he's got a new treasure. Now, I can just picture this. The Bible tells us there that Saul turned from Samuel and he begins to walk, and we can only assume that his turning is because he's facing Samuel and Gilgal's over this way. That's really what we're looking at here. And he's just speaking there, and Samuel had said, you go down to Gilgal and I'll meet you there in 7 days. And in the very next verse it says, and Saul turned and God gave him a new heart. Why did God give him a new heart? May I just offer up the fact that as Saul walked away, he's chewing on all that Samuel just told him. He's telling him all of these things that God's going to do. And he begins to chew on it, and he begins to think about it. And you know what? It becomes precious in his heart. You know the reason why the things of God aren't precious to the world? They don't have a new heart. Isn't it amazing that God works here before He ever works here? And we've got this idea that, boy, we've got to clean them up on the outside. God wants to just change their heart. You see, He delighted in the things of God. Fear today is keeping people from spiritual feeding. May I tell you, we've only had a few weeks that we haven't been able to be in-house. But there's been many people that haven't been. I'm not criticizing them. I'm not trying to be critical. But it's because of fear. But may I tell you, they've had no encouragement along the way. Even at best, if I've made a CD and I've been able to send a CD and try to encourage through that, Brother Richard, I love to listen to preaching, but it's not the same. It's not. There's something about, I'm telling you, I've listened to some preaching on an app that I have that I love. Boy, you can tell that service was just getting, I mean, it was getting good. It's one of those that you want to be sitting in the pew and being able to stand up, amen, preacher, and just go. You say, preacher, you can't do that while you're watching a CD. Oh, you can, or listening to a CD. You can. Amen. You just look goofy. Amen. All right, but good thing is I usually just look goofy around me. Amen. And you say, preacher, is it different? It's different. Yeah, the Spirit of God can speak and God can move through that message. But I'd much rather have it live. I'd much rather have it in-house. Amen. Hey, listen, I know we've been able to come back Sunday evenings and Wednesday nights and Sunday morning. I mean, we've been able to have some services, and I'd much rather be in-house than even on the YouTube. Hey, man, I'm not talking about in our house. I'm talking about in God's house. Well, why? But it's amazing that fear keeps from spiritual feeding. But I wonder how many people have still got groceries coming, and it doesn't stop from physical feeding. I wonder fear has stopped from coming to the great physician, but it hasn't stopped from going to something that we call doctor, and he's just got to practice. Amen. You see, I'm talking about desire. I know some people, it didn't matter. COVID was just a good excuse for them to not come. Amen. They didn't care in the first place. But to the children of God, coming to the house of God and being able to sing the praises to Him and being able to just shout, it's a delight. I love it. Hey, I can't wait. Jeremiah was talking on the way here tonight. We were talking about Wednesday, about some of the things that I was going to do. And he goes, but church is Wednesday. And we're like, well, yeah, Wednesday night. And he's like, yeah, but Dad's going to need to take a shower. So he's worried for y'all too. Amen. And, you know, we look at this and it's a delight. And he delighted in the things of God. Don't tell me that you delight in something that you don't desire. You see, if we desire it, then why aren't we enjoying it? I desire the things of God. I desire to come to the house of God. In Psalm chapter number 37 and verse number 4, the Bible says, delight thyself also in the Lord, and He will give thee the desires of thine heart. In Matthew 6 and verse number 21, the Bible says, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. I wonder why God allowed COVID to cause scares in churches. I believe that Satan just used it as another excuse. And by the way, if you're looking for an excuse to justify why you don't want the things of God, Satan will give it to you every time. And so, he began to dwell on all those promises. He began to dwell and just think about what God's going to do. When's the last time that we've just sat back? Maybe you've been alone. I've told you before, some of my best prayer times, I'd come here in the morning, and I'd be here at 4:30, I'd pray, and I would head to work. And by the time I would hit the interstate out there on 16, boy, I was just having a hallelujah fit. Just thinking and praying and thinking about what the promises that God gives us. Listen, I could go back to verse number 7, for God is with thee. I mean, really, we can just stop there and just praise the Lord and begin to just delight in Him. Why? Because He's not going to leave me. He's with me. He's with me. There's nothing I can do that He's not with me. He loves me. He's for me. But He's also, well, He's within me. Amen. He knows me better than I know me. Do we delight in the things of God? Do we have that new heart? That heart of desire, that heart of boy, I can't get enough. I don't know what your favorite dessert is. One of mine's probably ice cream. I am a bad. I've got to really discipline myself with ice cream. Brother Danny and I was talking about it. He said that, you know, there's people that say that they like ice cream, and you dish them a bowl of ice cream, and it's like one scoop, and they're like, oh, yeah, hey, that's good. Ooh. He's like, they don't like ice cream. I was like, I agree. Amen. It's like, here, let me dish you a scoop, and then I'll take the container. Amen. Why? Because I like ice cream. Now, I know I can't have all of that. I know that's not healthy, and I know I'm not going to have all that. But you know the good thing about my Lord? I can have all of Him. Amen. I mean, we're talking about delight. I delight in Him. Why? Because, well, I don't have to worry about my belt size. Amen. I don't have to worry about the heartburn that I might have from it later. No, I can just enjoy Him. I can scoop all of that. I can have all of that. It's low calories, amen, and it's high energy. Amen. And so I look here, and I find here that He just began to dwell on the promises. I'm reminded of 2 Corinthians 3 and verse number 3. The Bible says, "For as much as ye are manifestly declared to be the epistle of Christ ministered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not in tables of stone, but in fleshly tables of the heart." Why did God give him a new heart? You remember when Moses came down the first time off of Mount Sinai? And he seen that they were sinning. The children of Israel had, well, Aaron had made the calves, the golden calves, and they were out there naked, and they were just having a hooting party. What did Moses do to the tablets? He dropped them. He broke them. Why? They were stone. I know this isn't stone. It's plud. Say, what's plud? Plastic wood. Amen. If they can have pleather, this can be plud. Amen. And that's going to go viral now. Amen. So we've got us some plud. And with this, I really can't think of a substance any harder and colder than stone. You know, God doesn't want it to just be cold relationship. No, He wants to give us a warm relationship, a heart that molds, a heart that beats, a heart that breathes for Him. Saul got a brand new heart. Changed heart. Notice as well, I find there in 1 Samuel chapter number 10 and verse number... I don't want to skip too much. Look at verse number 6. I about gave you my next point. Look at verse number 6. "And the Spirit of the Lord will come upon thee, and thou shalt prophesy with them, and thou shalt be turned into another man." I'm talking about our spiritual exchange. The Bible tells us here that Saul's going to be turned into another man. That's where most people draw the line. I'll serve the Lord to my limits. I will love the Lord to my limits. But when God says, "I'm going to turn you in to another person," we usually go, "Hold on a second." But if we're ever going to live up to God's plan, we can't do it as who we are in the flesh. Saul could never be the king that God had planned for him as Saul. Even though his reputation with man was great, if we were to go on and we were to see when Samuel had told Saul that God has removed you from the kingdom and he sought a man after his own heart, Saul had to have a whole new life. Ephesians chapter number 4, if you would, turn there with me real quick. Ephesians chapter number 4. I want you to look here and I'll bring it to a close. In Ephesians 4, I want you to look at verse number 20. Ephesians 4 and verse number 20. Ephesians 4 and verse 20, it says, "But ye have not so learned Christ, if so be that ye have heard Him and have been taught by Him as the truth is in Jesus." Notice verse 22. "That ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness." Say, preacher, what are you getting at? I want you to understand that God chose Saul. That Saul may deliver or save his people. That's what it says there in 1 Samuel 9 and verse number 16. I've chosen him that he may save my people, Israel, from the hand of the Philistines. But who ultimately had the choice? Saul. Saul. The Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians 5 and verse number 17 that therefore if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away, behold, all things become new. Ephesians 4 really breaks it down. There's going to be some times that flesh doesn't want you to put it off. But you're going to have to come to the place where you make that conscious decision to put off the flesh and to put on the Spirit. You're going to have to make it as a decision every day in your life to live for God or live for the flesh. I'm talking about God's plan for your life is greater than you even know. Saul had no earthly idea how much God was going to bless him. And I know we could even look back and go, well, you know, preacher, God was never going to have Saul be the king and stay as king because he had already promised Judah was going to, Jesus was coming through Judah. And Judah was going to have the kingdom. And so the king was going to be from Judah, the tribe of Judah. And we know David was from the tribe of Judah. Now, hold on a second. May I tell you that God knew Saul before the word of God was ever given to man? You know, I don't want you to get critical on me here. I don't know if I worded that necessarily correct to Bible scholars. But understand that God sees from the end to the beginning. He knew what was going to take place. But ultimately, it was Saul's decision. It's the same as the fact that God sends no one to hell. You have to make the choice. You have to choose. But may I tell you, God also makes no one live for Him. It's our choice. He's got this great plan for your life, greater than you ever know of. Do you want it? The only way you're going to get it is receiving the provisions that God has for you and then making the decision to put them on. It doesn't do any good to have it in your wardrobe. Oh, when the fire hits, I'm going to grab my fire jacket and go. Well, that's great. What if the fire hits and you're trapped in another room? I'd rather just have it on. You say, preacher, it's uncomfortable, it's hot, it's brother, I've been in mop gear. It's not fun, and firefighter gear is not much different. It's hot, it's doesn't breathe well, it's heavy. But I need it for the fires of life. And may I tell you, you need the Spirit of God. You need that new man on because of the wickedness of this world. You need the new man on so that you can live up to the plan that God has for your life. Oh, Joel Osteen and them, how they're always talking health, wealth, and prosperity. They don't even understand it. How good God is and how much He has for us. They don't get it. You still in Ephesians? Y'all still in Ephesians? Let me give you a verse. Look, if you would, at verse number 16 of chapter 3 of Ephesians. I know some of you are going, preacher, what's this great plan that you say God's got for me? I don't know what it is for you. I don't even know all of it for me. But I know who holds it. And I know that He's never going to give me wrong. Notice, if you would, Ephesians 3, look at verse 16. That He would grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with His Spirit, with might by His Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Listen, these are all promises that He has for us. Look at verse 20. Now unto Him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Exceedingly abundantly above. You know what? That sounds like a whole lot more than I can understand. That's a whole lot more than what I'm looking for. I tell you, these, I hate to call them names, but they're sorry that want to preach and tell you that what God wants you to have the right job. God doesn't want me to have the right job. God wants way more than that for me. Amen. God doesn't want me to have the right bank account. He wants me to have all the riches and glory. Woo! I'm telling you, I've got a great God that wants more than what man can comprehend. And that plan's for me. But do we want to put it on so that we can claim it? We've been talking about climbing the mountains, haven't we? Claiming it and climbing it. Wouldn't it be great today to just go, you know what, God's got a plan for me. What's your retirement plan? Boy, I got X amount of dollars sitting in there. You know how I've got a retirement plan. I'm just going to lean on the Lord. I know you're going, preacher, that's kind of crazy. I'm not talking about the fact that I don't have a physical plan. But you know what my real plan is? I'm just going to trust in Him. I'm just going to trust in Him, because what is retirement? Who knows how long you're going to live? Amen. Oh, and who knows? Gas get up $5 a gallon? It doesn't matter if you got a retirement plan. You better have a lot in it. Hello? I think I'd just rather have God's plan. That's the right plan. And I want to live up to it. Let's stand. Our precious Heavenly Father, Lord, I do thank You. Oh, Lord, I rejoice in knowing that You've got so much for us. Lord, this health, wealth, and prosperity idea that man has, Lord, we're looking small. But Lord, You've given Saul something that's bigger than him, bigger than health, wealth, and prosperity. Lord, it's more than he can imagine. And Lord, You love us. And I know that You have a plan and a purpose for us. We saw that in 2 Timothy chapter 1. And Lord, I pray that You would just touch us, Lord, that we would desire to live up to the plan that You have for us. Lord, I want all of it. I want to be able to sop up the goody left on the plate, Lord. And Father, just praise You for it along the way. Lord, I pray, help us today that You would just take and move, and Lord, really let us make a decision that we're just going to sell out for You. Lord, I just pray. Touch us, Lord, in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Every head bowed, every eye closed. The music softly plays. I encourage you. God spoke to your heart. God spoke to your heart. It'd be a good time to come. And just say, Lord, I want that. I want that life. I want that plan. I want that plan that You have for me.
Sometimes I think I'm,
aren't you glad,
in control,
for God, who really knows what plan we need,
so
has provided everything that we need to fulfill it. Everything that we need. So that we can have the full plan. All of it. No catches, no gimmicks, no disappointment in the end. But it really does come down to that new man. That new heart. It do us good to just rejoice in what He does and how He does it. It do us good to just, I don't know, meditate on those promises. Just have a little bit of time with Him. Oh, I'm going to bring Him a sacrifice. I'm going to bring Him myself. Lord, here I am. Have Thine own way.
I won't be in your way.